We are back for episode 20, which falls on the day of our nation's independence.
It's the 4th of July. Happy 4th, ladies.
Happy 4th. Yeah, happy Bush did 9/11 day. So naturally, we're mostly going to be talking about Russia
on
this episode to flip the bird to the libs.
To own the libs and to, yeah, commemorate our real nation state, the USSR.
Yeah. So 2 days ago, there was a historic meeting of the minds. Ben Shapiro, Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, Dave Rubin, and Eric Weinstein were all spotted hanging out in Los Angeles. This reminded me a little bit of that picture Ramona Singer from The Real Housewives of New York posted and got in hot water for, of all the gals at dinner celebrating Countess Luann's return from rehab. And then Countess Luann got like a frantic phone call from her publicist because she has an upcoming court date and there were wine glasses on the table.
Well, these gentlemen were also sipping some wine at a hip Los Angeles eatery.
Do we know the name of the eatery? They must have geotagged it.
They didn't.
Weird.
I'm looking at the Instagram picture.
They all Instagrammed some variant of their hang. These guys, it's so cute. These guys are like chicks. Like they all got together in their medium suit supply duds and feverishly, like proudly documented.
Ben Shapiro captioned it, "Now this is a party."
Yeah. And it's like,
it's so the worst party. Yeah.
And they all look like they're on a first date, even though there are literally no women around.
Yeah.
Like they have that kind of like
Weinstein's got a shiny shirt on.
Yeah. He's like really, yeah. But you know, like those like kind of fantasy hypotheticals people like to pose when they're like a little tipsy and they're like, okay, if you could have dinner with three historical figures,
Joe Rogan.
And this
Sam
is like,
Harris.
And Eric Weinstein. No, this is like the exact inverse of them. Like you can get the, you can like get the sense that these guys all went to dinner together because nobody wanted to get dinner with them. They're like, okay, so guys, we've washed our dicks, we've sprayed the axe down our crotch, and now we're all gonna.
I've got a question for you, ladies.
Yeah.
Okay, marry, fuck, kill. I gotta look at this picture. Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris.
Wait, what are
Ben Shapiro, Sam Harris, Jordan Peterson? We already know Anna wants to fuck Joe Rogan. She just found out what he looks like.
Yeah, I will. I have a story about that. I have a story about that, but okay, but no, I like to operate under constraints, so I appreciate that Dasha has cornered us with a really uncomfortable proposition. God, I would probably kill Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Yeah,
marry. I guess I'd marry Jordan Peterson because he makes a lot of money, but I'd fuck Sam Harris. He's the hottest one of those three guys.
I guess I would agree. Yeah, I would marry Jordan Peterson to have access to his collection of Soviet art.
Memorabilia.
And memorabilia. Definitely kill Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Because he's an unfuckable short person.
Yeah.
And Sam Harris, we could have a nice godless hedonistic romp.
Yeah. You know, Sam Harris also rakes it in. Maybe I'd marry him. He's also pretty hot. He's an attractive man.
But I don't want to fuck Jordan Peterson.
No, I don't either. But you can enter into a purely loveless marriage. Here's what I do.
Exactly.
I would enter into a purely loveless marriage, ring him for his collection of Soviet art and Patreon donations, and then leave him for Slavo Zizek. Zizek.
Very
Zizek.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
He's not invited. He's too avant-garde.
He's too avant-garde, yeah. But like, you know, we all remember like the tea party. This is like the tea bag party. It's like, you know, there's like always that one guy in your friend group who like passes out before everybody else and wakes up like midway through a Roman helmet or like with dick scrawled on his
Roman,
face.
What's a Roman
it's
helmet?
It's like when you put your balls and dick on somebody's forehead.
Oh, okay.
And this is like, I don't know. Because I'm literally the mentality.
Because you're a frat boy.
Yeah, you know, I have the body of Idina. I don't, but and the mentality of AJ. So this is like what I look up. But this is like this is one of those hangs where arguably every guy in the room is that guy, like the friend.
Not Joe.
And
Joe Rogan's got some like he's got cool that. Fratty clout.
Big dick energy. I will say
so repulsed by this Joe Rogan.
I'm so jealous.
Okay. You can't possibly actually be attracted to Joe Rogan.
No, hold on. I learned what this guy looked like about 2 days ago, like when this whole meeting was going down.
You never watched Fear Factor?
No, never. I've never watched Fear Factor. I've never listened to like Morning Joe. Nothing.
Sure.
I'm like remarkably innocently removed from like all the social media stuff, and I found out what he looked like, and I was like, Jesus, like for being the only bald guy in the room, he's like really holding it down for the hotties. I mean, this is like Joe Rogan is like the Annis type industrial complex in a nutshell, like bald squat kind of like Jersey trash. He's
if
from
any
Newark.
Of our listeners have not access to
he's
Joe
Jewish,
Rogan,
but I think that there's
definitely not Jewish.
Yeah. No, I was like, Joe Rogan, if you're listening, DM me, daddy. You and me, we can be the Tony and Carmella of the alt-right. Yeah. I will grow my hair out for this man.
You hear that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really hot. There should really be like a new kind of ethno-racial term for guys that are either Jewish or Italian and from the tri-state area.
Just
because I don't discriminate.
Yeah. As long as they're from New Jersey.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but he is married.
Well, it's okay. Listen, I'll go over there and break up that marriage.
She's
ready to wreck a
happy
Rogan.
Home.
I'm gonna not show you a picture of her.
Is she really hot?
No.
Okay. No. Thank God.
We can look that up on our own time.
And you know, he seems like a secretly like nice and sensitive guy. I don't know if I would go that far, but yeah, he's really hot. He looks like if like Tony
he's
Soprano,
a libertarian dumb shit.
He's so hot.
Did you know he's into anti-circumcision activism?
Oh, he's the worst. He's also this is also like very much my type. He's like the type of guy who resents Catholicism. Yeah. No, but this is like the sort of like. Stunad, like Schwiedel, who discovered who hates Catholicism like in a pure kind of unabridged way, even though he owes everything, his entire contrarian posture, to Catholicism. That's what taught him to be kind of like
the
bad boy of the intellectual dark web. But he looks like if Tony Soprano like put down the cannoli and hit the deadlift machine, which is like really hot to me.
Okay.
Of course. But I was reading up, like boning up on flicking my bean to Joe Rogan and boning up on the so-called intellectual dark web, which basically is a movement that was
Eric Weinstein coined it.
Who's an economist and like a partner in Peter Thiel's capital firm, which is I didn't know that Jews and Nazis could get along so swimmingly.
Wow. Someone's got to handle the coins.
Yeah, somebody's got to shake the shekels. But basically, a lot of these people come out of this movement known as New Atheism, which peaked during the Bush years and kind of became the butt of memes in the Obama age, which was the golden age of like primetime liberalism, and is now experiencing a kind of
meaning
revival.
Neoliberalism, not classic liberalism.
No,
which is also how these fellows like to identify themselves.
Yeah. It's like the golden age of like, you know, John Oliver, whatever.
Yeah.
Liberalism. But and now it's kind of experiencing a revival during the Trump age, there's a great article in the Baffler there's a great article in the Baffler by Alex Nichols from I think like a couple of years ago, where he like describes these guys, and how it like this movement thrived with the marriage of like Bush's quote political creationism and the rise of web forums. Right. And he talks about like there's a great description about how this guy's typically male, aggressively pedantic, self-professedly logical, committed to the hard sciences.
Right. Reason. Yeah. Logic and reason.
Prone to starting sentences with actually, almost always devoted to the notion. Well, actually, yeah, that was an oversight. That his belief in God imbued him with intellectual superiority. And we all know these guys from like frequenting, at least on my part, like amateur debate clubs in high school, like the JSA. Like this is like the JSA all grown up.
Where they're like, prove to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were always like wearing an Argyle vest and like issuing spittle, you know, as they spoke. But I think like now they've aligned with kind of this post Dawkins or post Hitchens atheism, and they've married it with a post Paglia feminism of like someone like Christina Hoff Sommers, and now it's become the intellectual dark web. So it's unmoored from like the particular anti-religious angle. I asked Meg yesterday how many of these guys actually belonged to the intellectual dark web, and she was like, "Well, all of them."
I think that it's IDW meetup.
Yeah.
I think God's coming back.
Yeah, I think so too.
I feel like there's the next wave is going to be. I mean, I believe in God. I think it'll be like, you know, like a post-rational sort of
romantic return
of like people just rediscovering a spiritual life.
I've never been able to wrap my head around a higher power.
You're an atheist.
Truly.
I'll wrap my legs around Joe Rogan's head in the name of God. I'm a Catholic now. I'm like midway between you guys. I like don't really believe in God, but I believe in like, you know, spiritual, whatever. I'm spiritual.
I pray. Yeah. To God.
To dog.
I pray to God to make me an it girl, and it fucking worked. I haven't talked to him about it yet, but
like, of course, like the irony of this sort of like institutional atheism is that it's just as dogmatic as it's just the same as organized religion minus the theology and iconography, which are arguably the most redeemable parts of religion. So that's like a minus in my book. But it's very liturgical. Like it has its own liturgy, which is like logging on to own the libs. That's right. Like what they do. Right. Yeah. In you know, using kind of invectives to take on like their liberal and far right enemies in defense of their own identity politic.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like basically it's identity politics.
Yeah, they just replace like a God figure with like logic/reason.
Yeah.
And they haven't actually evaluated any of like the moral value systems that exist in religious.
And they're basically like into calling forth like scientific rationalism or like plain old common sense.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, it's yeah, and probably it's like not very expedient for us to go through these guys' individual platforms, but you know, like Ben Shapiro, for example, is fond of saying, quote, facts don't care about your feelings, which is hilarious because, you know, it's all purely biased with these guys, even though they're billing themselves as like ruthless logicians.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I look this up. I made like a little matrix, you know, because I was very confused and drunk last night. So Reuben, Harris, and Peterson are self-identified classical liberals. Mm-hmm. Rogan is an unaffiliated libertarian. Shapiro is like a quote # never Trump conservative.
He is? That's his deal?
Yeah. He's a conservative.
Well, no, I know, but I didn't realize he was a never Trumper.
And Meg, you have to dredge up your hot take from last night because it was so good.
Oh, I just had I mentioned to Anna while we were texting at 3:30 in the morning that there's no women in the photo and the hangout and the intellectual stuff. But is there any woman really aside from
Christina Hoff Summers, and that woman, I think her name is Diana So. She wrote the famous paper about how transgender teens or teens with gender dysphoria should not be transitioned early on because they often grow out of the dysphoria.
That was a recent.
Yeah. Yes. And she's kind of, all of these people basically have left academia. But no, but Meg, you said like...
Oh, I just said that it's crazy that these people all criticize us for women for thinking emotionally when they can't think rationally about...
Yeah. No, you just said that it's funny that they call women emotional thinkers because they're all emotional. Yeah.
Yeah, they're hysterics.
But like the thing that these guys all share, even though they have like sort of radically different political beliefs or like ostensibly different, is a certain cultural conservatism, which I mm-hmm. can fully sympathize because I am, you know, no jokes, no lulls, a cultural conservative myself. Like, you know, I don't think homosexuality is a disease. What?
No. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, like the burqa is incompatible with the aims of feminism and that liberals protecting kind of being sensitive to certain aspects of culture that like of other cultures that are oppressive to women is a fool's errand. But the problem isn't so much like their cultural conservatism. It's that they mix the cultural and political.
Sure.
Yeah. So in my mind, if you're going to be a cultural conservative, you have to be a political progressive because like, you know, they're all, the thing is that they're all staunchly, the other thing that they share is that they're all very staunchly against any concept of a socialist welfare state, but they are very feverishly pro this very neoliberal definition of individualism.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave Rubin is like a classic liberal and gay.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that he was a Finuke.
He's, I think, the only Finuke amongst them. But yeah, that's like...
But I guess what these guys are missing at the end of the day is that tribalism on a cultural level can only be remedied by collectivism on a political level. Yeah. Which are.
Because it's inherently more. It's exclusionary.
I couldn't tribalism? Get through those Rubin reports.
Wait, so in his mind, is that a bad or a good thing?
He was saying that it's
a weak point.
To, their, like, endgame,
to be exclusionary?
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, in my mind, like tribal affinities are human nature and some are good and some are bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's like right. The anti-tribalist. I mean, he's like...
He's pure evil.
Yeah, he's just pure
He wants to live forever.
Yeah, he's like a nefarious homosexual ubermensch.
Who wants to live forever?
Yeah, I know.
I don't even believe in God, but there's probably someplace for me to go.
Yeah. I'm just like, throw me in the river. But yeah, but my feeling is that like... If you really want to combat the worst tribal tendencies, and you have to build a society where people aren't constantly made to feel undervalued and overburdened
neglected,
and precarious.
Yeah.
And so like while they are like correct in diagnosing like SJWism as a sort of form of tyranny or authoritarianism, albeit a very powerless one.
Well, they're guilty of the same thing.
Well, yeah, and this explains their kind of massive popularity with like the endangered white male psyche. That's mm-hmm. only half right because what jihadis and SJWs have in common is like a misplaced but ultimately fundamentally valid feeling of social injustice.
Right.
And like these guys can't seem to get on board with that. Because they're so convinced of their own, of sort of like the individual, like will to power or whatever.
Yeah.
Like this bootstrapping ethos.
Go clean your room.
Yeah. Don't forget to wash your dick.
Good God. Let's see.
two other, some other great men are going to meet soon.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting of the mind.
Another Trump
historic meeting
is finally going to have his summit with Papa Putin on the 16th.
Yeah,
July 16th.
Helsinki, which has hosted many apparently Russo-American diplomatic functions.
Yeah,
is that where Obama met with Medvedev?
No, he met with him in Moscow.
He went to Russia.
Yeah. That was so.
What's the deal with Helsinki?
Yeah. Trump and Putin getting married. It's a royal wedding. Yeah, their nuptials.
Adam and I were talking this morning about how so many like SJW like LGBT queer people still resort to like weird homophobia when they talk about Trump and Putin. They'll be like, they'll like specify their pronouns and then tweet like, yeah, Trump and Putin are going to be having gay fucking sex in the Kremlin because, like, Russian collusion is so wrapped up in their ideology.
Wait, who is this?
Like, SJW people. SJW. Like, people who otherwise wouldn't, like,
aren't those
say
people,
shit
like
that.
Progressive and non-binary?
Exactly. But, yeah. Like, because of the they're so afraid of Russian collusion, that's, like, when they... They put their hair shades on to call Trump a faggot.
No, so there was like a New York Times article that I briefly skimmed this morning about how in June 2009, Obama met with Putin during a visit with Medvedev, who was president at the time, and Putin was playing the role of like the shadowy PM, but was still kind of like the man in power. But so the author launched into an anecdote, which is actually an anecdote of an anecdote about how it's from the memoir of this guy, Michael McFaul, who's Obama's chief advisor to Moscow and later was the U.S. ambassador to Moscow. And the memoir, get this, is the title. It's called From Cold War to Hot Peace.
Ooh. Yeah.
So there are a lot of very sexual overtones here. But basically the anecdote was how Putin cornered Obama and unloaded onto him about all of Russia's grievances with America and how they had mishandled certain
with the sanctions,
yeah,
and the collusion and whatnot.
And he talks about how on July 16th it will be Trump's turn. And quote, Putin is sure to begin their bilateral meeting with a similarly aggrieved and discursive lecture, with Washington in the role of the antihero, committing the sin of hubris, overreach, and disrespect.
You got it all wrong. Okay, I get all my news from MSNBC now.
Yeah.
Yes, our MSNBC correspondent, Meg.
They said that Trump is going to go to Russia and ask Putin what to do about Hillary's emails.
Wow.
Putin will be like, what is email?
Yeah. lock her up.
My favorite news channel now also is sowing a lot of hysteria about the fact that Trump and Putin might have a completely like solo meeting together. No aides.
Which is totally typical. It's completely standard. President leaders do this all the time. It's completely standard. They're going to have some translators, allegedly. It's up in the air because nobody knows what to expect. I mean, that's the main consensus from all the different media reports, is that nobody knows what he's going to say.
But that we're all really worried about it.
Yeah.
They told me on MSNBC.
What'd they tell you, Meg?
KGB agent.
I know. Oh, I love that.
Oh, my God. Psychological warfare that Russia has already inflicted.
I know. No, it's
on our fragile democracy.
Yeah, no. And it's like, you know, liberals are like forever losing their shit about the fact that Putin is trained KGB agent. He's like Ivan Dechenko from like Eastbound and Down. He's like, I am top DJ. And it's like, so what? All of the guys that populate your corridors of power are former intelligence agency guys. Like who in government isn't? It's like a pipeline.
Sure.
And I think like the brittle like Russian or American mythology of Russia rests on this kind of axis where Russia is like a diabolical and almost supernaturally diabolical evil.
Right. Extremely sophisticated superpower.
Yeah. But also
we can't
like,
even reckon with.
Yeah. And I'm like also like weirdly possibly bumbling in a way. I mean, they have to have some like chink in their armor because in order for like the U.S. to emerge as like the victor, like the right. George slaying the dragon, there has to be some kind of Achilles heel vulnerability. And I'm like, this is a country of guys in tracksuits who siphon gasoline from cars to get drunk on. Like, remember this Gutalin thing when we were growing up where they would smear, like, what is it? Like, some sort of, like, car tar on sandwiches and eat it because it would make them high?
No.
Like, laid out in the street.
Or jumping in front of cars in incoming traffic to get, like, insurance money, which is why dash cams are so pop, like, prevalent.
DJ dash cam.
Yeah, exactly.
But...
Hey.
Yeah. I got hit by an ambulance and all I got was my ambulance and all I got was my bill comped. But I guess this guy in the New York Times had sort of like a very elementary psychoanalysis of Putin where he was like, you know, he hates Obama. He stands in kind of, he's completely antithetical to everything that Obama stood for. And so he reflexively favors any policy that opposes his predecessor. And I'm like, this sounds like worse than House of Cards, which I've never watched. Like they're all like gossiping girls. He's like, I hate Obama. So like, I'm going to go with Trump. And I'm like, what are they? Whatever.
Sure it is.
But like, I'm just like, I'm picturing them like, you know, meeting up and like playing cards against humanity.
Well, I think
whatever.
The idea is that
Boggle.
Trump is attractive to Putin because he's just as like corrupt and transactional.
Oh, I
like
see.
In the post-Soviet state, like everything has a price, as it does for like our businessman President Donald Trump. That he's excited about.
I love that. There's a really funny headline from CNN that says, quote, Trump doesn't care what people think about his relationship with Putin, which like reminded me of being in high school and like dating that one guy from like the wrong side of the tracks. And everybody is like, no, he's not any good for you. Self-eject.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care.
I love him.
You don't know him like I do.
Yeah, it was Joe Rogan. I'm like, no, you don't understand. He got that swastika tattoo when he was drunk. It doesn't mean anything, Mom. But like, there's the quote from the CNN article was about how Trump's rhetoric and behavior in recent weeks have added to the impression that he prefers Putin's company to that of allies like German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Fuck Angela Merkel. Canada's
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Of course.
Like, what are you? What
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, God.
Like back to that hypothetical about who you would get dinner with if you could. I would rather get dinner with Trump or Putin than I would with any of these like craven neoliberals.
I just want cocktails with Bannon. We all
know.
Or Roger Stone. Oh
yeah, my career would be Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. But I guess nobody knows what Trump will. I mean, what they have on the table right now, by the looks of it, right, is so the topics on the docket are
Syria.
Ukraine,
they're gonna talk Syria,
the Crimea.
Who Trump has said is Russian because they speak Russian.
Yeah.
There.
I mean, by that standard, most of Ukraine is Russian. Most of Belarus. And
I wish
some
Belarus
of the Baltic
would be absorbed back into Russia, honestly. I don't think most people in Belarus would mind either.
Yeah, I don't. I have
it's
no
their
idea.
Only ally.
Really?
Yeah, no, because the EU hates them for all the human rights violations.
Mm-hmm.
And like Russia is basically the only country they have a relationship with.
Yeah. So they're basically like, but they're not acrimonious with Russia, which is interesting because I think all the Baltic states hate Russia and Ukraine obviously hates Russia in the
Belarus
Caucasus.
Belarus loves Russia. Yeah. The last time Belarus was prosperous was in the 70s when there was like an oil pipeline that went through Belarus.
Yeah.
Also. So they don't have anything really going for them themselves on their own. If any of our Belarusian fans have some contrary information, I'm open. But
when was the last time you were there?
I was like 11.
Oh.
No, I moved when I was like a 4, like a small child.
Oh, okay.
But I visited a couple times as a kid, and then my Belarusian passport expired, and I don't. It's just too like costly and complicated to go on an American visa. I have Belarusian citizenship, but it's very murky, and there's like bribes to be dealt out, and it's always.
If she goes back, she's gonna get sold into the sex trade.
Exactly. Yeah, I see the way they look at me when I go to the Banya, wondering how I escaped.
No, but this was like a real problem for like Russian people of our generation, for men especially. Like in Russia, for example, if you were under 27 and you were a joint citizen and you went back to Russia, you could be drafted into the Russian army, which
for
like,
2 years.
Good word it is.
Yeah.
What is this, Israel? Like, what the hell? Who wants to be in the Russian army? It's like you're some like creative director in Brooklyn. You have like a tiny tattoo and like rolled up pants that expose your ankles, and you're like killing Chechens.
I mean, my dad was in the army for 2 years, and he just spent cleaning jets and like he didn't fight in any wars. It's just because you have to do the mandatory service or whatever.
Oh, so it's like National Guard shit.
I mean, I think if you are like. Show a disposition for it, you can like move up in the ranks, but my dad really didn't.
He was just move up like in the ranks of
goofing
brutally off. Murdering
and he's like 5'10" so.
Muslims. Yeah.
He definitely
both
could've.
Of the parents
he's
but like so there's like this whole kind of roster of topics that these two students are going to figure out and talk about, and most of them are like kind of geopolitical, diplomatic in nature. But the main topic that everybody's talking about is that they're going to talk about electoral, like election integrity, which
the collusion.
Who cares? How is this a hot
the libs
topic
care.
In 2018 when Trump's been president for 2 years?
Because Rachel Maddow's obsessed, and people don't want. The Democrats don't want to take any responsibility for losing one of the easiest elections in history, and they still want to like believe in this Russian collusion drama.
Yeah, and now they're cucking the two most premier world leaders into discussing this, into parading this pathetic topic around at a literal political summit. Like, can we stop like relitigating, like re-arbitrating the emails and the hacking and all this boring shit that
the
like
Facebook ads?
Oh, the Cambridge Analytica shit.
Yeah, Adam's boomer dad literally said to me, "Trump won because of fake Black Lives Matter Facebook posts made by Russian troll farms." That's like the reality that he lives in.
Really.
Except, from MSNBC, that's like what that's the
except like no offense
the narrative,
but literally nobody in America cares about like no kind of middle American Trump voter cares about Black Lives Matter or Russian trolls.
Well, yeah, it's the undecided voters who were swayed allegedly. And
yeah,
crooked Hillary's fault.
Yeah, but you know, this is a purely speculative segment because we really don't know what's going
to
happen.
I'm looking forward to our boys having a good old chat.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just too hot to not touch on before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, Putin remembers to smile.
I hope he remembers to wash his dick. Speaking of smiling.
Yeah,
smiling,
that was my effortless segue to another piece of news.
Business Insider. Yeah. Yeah, there's a story.
Who wants laugh lines?
Yeah, I mean, we are born with laugh lines, so we spend our days affecting a stony grimace so that is not to intensify them.
What do you think?
It's just like ideal. It's just pipe it into your forehead instead of like the vein in your leg. So here's a story from Business Insider about how in the lead up to the World Cup, all these Russian workers were taught to properly smile at the foreign fans that would be flooding the country. There's a quote from Masha, who is
apparently a Russian girl who works at Business Insider.
Echoing kind of the dominant ethos of the Russian kind of cultural standards, that quote, randomly smiling at strangers in public is often viewed as a sign of mental illness or inferior intellect, whereas according to Business Insider,
it's retarded in
the US and in many other countries, smiling is a common reflexive gesture of goodwill. I mean, listen, I read this article. I feel like the study has been around forever. I've seen it in various permutations. It kind of came back up to the surface because of the World Cup, FIFA.
Sure.
FIFA. And the article goes on to talk about display rules, which are norms that dictate how individuals should express themselves and which are based on, quote, social distance, which is the expectation of privacy in a given culture. And studies have shown that in Russia there's less social distance, like meaning that people not only expect others to approach them, but that there's more mutual understanding within any given social interaction. So there's
less privacy.
Yeah, and there's less pressure to display a positive emotion, like smiling to signal friendliness or openness. Because according to Business Insider, it's generally assumed that you're already on the same wavelength.
Everything sucks. What would we be smiling about?
Yeah, and like this other guy is out to game me.
Right.
Meanwhile, in America, there's more social distance. So people not only expect more privacy, but have a greater anxiety about like a potential invasion of privacy. So a kindly gesture like smiling basically greases the wheels of the interaction, makes everybody feel mutually at ease. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's also certain cultural markers at play. Like Russians are more inclined to express a positive emotion when they're genuinely happy, whereas Americans are more likely to understand positive emotional reactions as a social cue. So they're insincere,
right.
But
how
they're...
How are you? Good.
Yeah.
So all these feminists that are sick of catcallers telling them to smile, they really need to look towards you guys.
Yeah,
and
they should go
and
to
just
Russia.
Never just like scowl all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think like obviously, I guess this is probably like this thing comes from Russia's history as an Orthodox and later communist society.
Sure.
And also with its history with terror, where everybody was kind of thrust into a collective society, but there was also collectivized oppression going on, and you couldn't trust anybody because your neighbor would snitch you out to get your flat,
right? Or even less than your flat, like
yeah,
your coffee vodka or whatever.
Yeah. And then in the United States, I guess there's this sort of like puritanical manifest destiny, highly individual approach to life. So basically what this study is saying is that Russians are real and Americans are fake.
Yep, you heard it.
I'm kidding. I don't know. I mean, I think that like, you know, we all started reading that Masha Gessen book about being a Russian during the collapse of the Soviet Union, and certain behavioral practices or standards in Russia make me really sad and like are like fairly traumatic. Like,
well, there's just more of a legacy of suffering. I mean, Germans aren't exactly known for smiling very much either.
Yeah,
because they live in like a place that has a history.
Yeah, I also think like Germans, yes, they have this history of being the perpetuators of the Holocaust, but they also are a fundamentally like regimented militaristic society. Like in my mind, there's no accident why Germany and Japan and Turkey have always been historically aligned, because these are military states.
Sure.
With like a military ethos where it's kind of seen as shameful or embarrassing to bear your true emotions.
To be vulnerable and
inefficient.
I legitimately shudder at the like hearing German.
The language, yeah, the oppressor's language. I really hate it. It's a very ugly language. I mean, it's a beautiful...
My grandfather spoke German,
and every time I was in the... Mine did too. Well, my great-grandparents, I mean, they were all German-speaking Jews, basically, but they... It's a language that's beautiful on one hand because it has, you know, so many states and words and whatever, but it's also, like, horrifying in practice.
Well, I was in Berlin last summer, and whenever there was, like, a sporting event or something, I'm more horrified less by, like, an individual speaking German than, like, a bunch of Germans.
Chant. Yeah. Maybe you are Jewish after all, Dasha. You better get that 23
that inherited trauma, right?
Yeah, I hear these people and I, like, run for the closest, like, closet or...
What's crazy is, like,
crawl space.
My grandfather, he, like, effectively raised me because they were our neighbors, but he spoke German fluently and still speak it, like, very frequently. And I don't remember him ever yelling. But it was just the language registered as, like, screaming at you.
Yeah, it just sounds... Russian sort of sounds that way a little bit, too.
Yeah.
It's there. I mean, grammatically, the languages are very similar. I had to pass a German exam for grad school, and
how did you do on that French?
Good, good. Listen, I have a way with languages, and I passed this damn thing because I realized, I was like, listen, the vocabulary is basically English, and then the grammatical structure is basically Russian. Like, I got this. Yeah. But basically, like, my BFF Tim always says, like, the reason these people are such sex perverts is because they simply have the language to express kind of like this multifarious gamut of sexual possibilities, whereas, like, what? Americans don't.
How so?
They have all those, like, compound Shiza. Words and, like, compound upon compound words. You could just, like, you know, it's like Lego blocks. And yeah. In German, you can just stack words on top of each other.
Sure. Oh, God.
I don't know. Good See, question. But I know English someone who we can ask. But anyway, but going back to this, like, Russian situation of us, like, not smiling or whatever.
Sounds like more Russophobia in the news to me.
Collusion. Mm-hmm. No, I was thinking about how, like, you know, in America, being sincerely vulnerable is actually like a marketing ploy. It's actually not sincere or vulnerable.
Sure.
You know, and everybody's like very open with their emotions and constantly smiling. And I just, as a person who's basically culturally Russian and will always be, even though I've lived in this country for most of my life, it's still kind of always shocking and oppressive. It's like hearing German or getting, like, sprayed with, like, a water gun or something. Every time you walk into, like, a store in the United States, there's all these, like, chipper sales girls who are like, oh my God, I love your bag. Are you looking for one? Like,
right.
You know, like, you go into Aritzia and they're like, are you looking for more sizes? And you're like, no, I'll fucking, like, bugger off, lady. I'll, like, rifle through the racks myself. Yeah, or what?
We're
yeah,
not.
I guess they are Canadian, but this customer service model, the American service model, is horrendous to me. I don't want any assistance unless there's some, like, manual operation where you have to, like, reach up and get something that's too high for me to grab.
When I was a waitress for years, I know there's a lot of speculating as to my class status online, but I'm not rich, and I was a waitress for almost 3 years. And I had a really hard time, yeah, like, producing the appropriate affect of being, like, pleased to serve people. And I very much gave, like, a bare minimum of, like, interaction with people because I wasn't going to pretend like I was, like, thrilled to be at my stupid job. And it worked out because I worked at, like, a French restaurant. But there was a lot of places where, like, I definitely couldn't work. In my first job, I was a grocery bagger at, like, a Vons, which is, like, a West Coast grocery chain. Do they have it in Ohio?
No, but I...
From, yeah. But, and I was written up formally for not smiling enough.
Jeez.
And I was making, like, $4 an hour.
You're like,
I was
bitch, raise me to 12.
Old. Yeah.
And I'll start smiling.
And they expected me to smile at people as I bagged groceries.
Well, that was the benefit of like being a hostess in Nolita, is that I think we were expected to be a little bit icy and aloof. Sure. Because that Yeah. But generally speaking, unless you work at a shishi like New York or LA or Berlin establishment, you're expected to be super chipper at all times. And I think that that's sort of like a violation of the social contract because, you know, the unspoken, like the tacit understanding between any two people is that you respect each other's intelligence and ability to draw your own conclusions.
Sure.
And like, you know, Americans are always like forever like insisting, foisting their garrulous, conversational and effective manner down people's throats. Yeah.
I don't know. I never understand the assumption that Midwesterners are very friendly because, like, my parents are not very friendly.
Well, no, they're not. Midwesterners are polite, but they're seething inside. Amber has a really great...
Right, they're kind. There's a
quote about this, yeah.
Why was Amber's quote?
Well, you know, Amber's a Midwestern lass, and she... And she told me this joke about how, you know, people like East Coast people are both mean and impolite. Southern people are kind and polite. And Midwesterners, Southern charm. And Midwesterners are polite, but mean. They're like seething inside.
They're fundamentally unkind.
With
I had a really beautiful time in Wisconsin.
You are in a really beautiful part.
I can't imagine why Crooked Hillary didn't campaign there, personally. Not to bring her up again.
Yeah.
You're obsessed with
I'm obsessed. I get upset about Hillary Clinton routinely.
You know, ladies, love and hate are the same emotion.
Sure.
Right. That's what I'm gonna comment too.
We will provide
Happy 4th of July.
We'll provide probably some more commentary on the Trump Putin summit
next week.
It's underway. Maybe a little special for our pay pigs on Patreon. And
oh, we'll see you in hell. I'm really not looking forward to all the street art that's going to come out of this summit. God damn it.